Accession number 9875, reel 8.
Mr. Ashurst, reel 8. You were telling me about the occupation of this row of cottages.
Yes.
Between the lines. Can I get this right? There was the British line, then at right angles to it, there was a row of cottages which you occupied during the night, and then the other side of the German line, about 10 to 20 yards away, there was another row of cottages.
Exactly.
Which was in German possession.
Exactly.
And running along the side of both of them...
Was a lane.
Was a lane. Mm. Did these cottages have a name?
And on the right-hand side, on the lane, across the lane, was a barricade, a German barricade, where their house was. There was a German barricade made.
Did this street of house, this lane or the group of houses, did it have a name?
No, I don't know. No, not that I know of. It had no proper name. No.
It was
only a lane, you know. It wasn't a big road.
When you took the houses over that night, was there any opposition to you at all?
No, because he was in his houses and he was there, and he didn't know until same morning that we were in there.
Now you were one of the group who went forward.
I lived in the end house.
But when you took it over, what strength went in to do this work?
Oh, not a great deal of us, not many. How many? Well, I don't know what went in this side of the cottages. You know what I mean, the near side. I and my party was in the front kitchen, in the front row of the houses.
So you
right in the next to the Jerry, right next to Jerry.
So you were right up, you were the closest group?
Yes, we were the first to them, nearest to them.
Once you'd occupied them, the idea was you stayed in them.
Yes, for a while, anyway.
For the 4 days that you were...
Well, it wasn't decided, because we didn't know what might happen. You see, when we took them over, they may have risked a counterattack or something like that to take them off us, or beat us out of him, you see. But, of course, he couldn't shell us because it was too near... German lines. He couldn't shell us. He might have knocked his own houses to blazes, you know.
So how many of them were you in the house that you were in?
Oh, 4 or 5 of us. 6.
And how many in the other houses?
Well, I fancy the same.
What work?
But they were feeding. They were coming out of the front line, you see, right into the houses. They could occupy them any time, come in and go out, and come in and go out.
This is through the knocking down of the middle
through
walls?
Through the knocking... The
connecting walls?
Yes. Through making the passage right through the cottage, the old cottages.
What other defensive preparations did you make for the cottages?
Well, none, really, because there was none to make. There was the backyard, kitchen that we lived in, the backyard and a backyard wall, that you could go to. You don't look over, you know. And that's how it was. But it was quiet. There was nothing happening. It was quite all right. Jerry shouted to us and we shouted back, you know.
What were you shouting?
Well, one fellow, I remember, he said, "I know Manchester better than any of you over there." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yes, I know Manchester better than any of you." Because they were arguing the point, you know. Manchester fella like was arguing back, you know, so and so. We used to argue like that.
Was it friendly argument or...?
Friendly, really. Friendly, yes. But we had the kitchen fire, of course, you know. The ordinary fireplace going up to the chimney. And one day... As we usually did, we were cooking our stew and stuff on the fire in a pan. What was already left of the house? A pan on the fire. And Jerry must have decided he'd have a bit of fun. So he sat down and fired away at the bricks at the top of our chimney. knocked them down. You know, not one or two down. Our stew was all over the kitchen floor. Bang, the pot had gone. Of course, you know what happened then. The language is not fit to put on there. Anyway, and that's how it... And he laughed away, Jerry. He laughed. He knew he'd been successful, you know. He'd done it all right. He picked the right time when the stew was on and everything. Oh, he did it fine. Knocked the stew all over the kitchen floor. Yeah, that was one incident, so... You can't say there's much fighting about that, really, can you? There was no fighting.
How did you keep watch on the Germans?
Well, there were upstairs bedrooms where you could look down, you see. For instance, you could go in the front room of this kitchen and look through the window, down the lane, over the parapet, over the barricade, right on to a schoolyard lower down. One of our officers, he used to go and get up there and snipe away at Jerry's in the schoolyard. You could just see their heads, that's all, as they moved about the schoolyard. You couldn't see their old bodies, but you could see their heads. They were so tall, you know, so much taller than the wall. And he used to try and get them. He did get one or two. Come, he was supposed to mark them open. He'd one or two marks on them. Threatened he'd go one or two, you know. I had to do two.
What happened when you had a go?
No, I didn't get any that I know of. I saw them fall. You could see them fall, but you didn't know whether you'd got them or not. They may have been ducking, you see, when you fired.
What was your position that you took up?
Position?
Well, what was your snipe? Where did you snipe from?
Same place. Same place as the officer. Yes, same place as him.
Did you like sniping?
Well, yes, it was all right. It was a nice bit of practice for your shooting. And that was where that boy was caught asleep on the bed.
Hang on, before we go on to that...
See, here was the window and there was the bed.
Before we go on to that... When you were sniping, did it worry you at all about the prospect of so directly killing anyone in cold blood?
Oh, dear, no. No, no, not at all. No. He was delighted if you hit one.
So although you were having friendly jokes with them, your aim was still...
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, our game was to kill. This fellow was caught asleep on the bed.
Yes, tell me about that now, then.
Well, the audio officer came round one day, you see.
Why was he on the bed? Can you just explain that for us on the tape?
What?
Why was he on the bed?
Well, he could sit on the bed and look through the window, you see, quite comfortably. And the bed was still there, left, you know. These things had been left hurriedly by the people... When Jerry first came, you see, there was even turnips and potatoes down the cellar, you know, in the place. And Jerry had left them. And we were eating them anyway. So the other officer came round. Of course, our officer took him upstairs, showing him the position, letting him look through the window, you know, where we stood and where we were and how we were, and this fellow's asleep. When they get in the room, the bedroom, he's asleep, he's dozed off, and the officer caught him, you know, warned him, severely warned him. But as it happened, another day he came and caught him again. Was it another day, the same day? He came back and caught him again, and he was sent away. He was supposed to be shot. I don't know whether he was or not, but that's what he went away for. Anyway, that was the end of that lad. And a damn good soldier he was, too.
What did you think about that?
Not so much. Not so much when they took him away. He was sorry for the lad. Well, he wasn't a lad. He was a fella about 50. An oldish fella about 50.
Did you have any trouble staying awake?
No, not really. I don't know that I ever overslept much anywhere. I mean, you'd always the boys to waken you up, you know. when you told them, you'd always the boys to waken you up. And they wouldn't let you stop there too long, you know, if it was their turn to get down.
But when you were on actual sentry duty?
Yes, and we simply lived there in that kitchen, like that. But at the same time, coming in our house and digging below us was the Royal Engineers, digging a tunnel down. See? And we are certain, as a matter of fact, I am, that the Germans were tunneling this way. I'm certain I heard them, you know, quietly working underneath. Anyway.
Did that worry you?
Oh, yes, we did think about it. All we thought about was when the engineers come on, lads, get the thing blown up, you know, first.
What was the engineers' target, did you know?
Yes, to blow up the barricade on the road. And, of course, the first house. First house, I should think. So, anyway, they took enough stuff down to blow all Paris up, I think.
Before we come to the actual explosion, did you have any... You mentioned, while you were sniping and the officer was sniping, did you have to be careful about being sniped yourself? Because there's windows and things like that in the house.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What precautions did you take?
Simply... We fired and ducked back, you know.
What about when you were moving about normally? How did you try not to show
Well,
yourself?
We were under cover, and there was nobody at their side just to be over cover either, you see. We walked about in our yard. As a matter of fact, one day we had a fellow wounded. And he'd been wounded with something, and we didn't know what the hell it was. Anyhow, his backside is full of small pellets. Scores of small pellets his backside's full of when we bring him in. He'd been to the toilet. You could go to the toilet, you know. Still in a building then, when he was in the toilet. Jerry couldn't hit you with a rifle. And it seems we got orders, we reported this, and we got orders. The next time one drops, doesn't go off, report it and bring it in. And they found out it was a rifle grenade. A grenade fired from a rifle, which we never had and never did. And we hadn't got them.
Did they use
I'm taking it that the English copied some of the stuff, you know.
Did they use the rifle grenade a lot?
No. Just dropped one or two. They had to fire it up and drop it in the yard, you see. Well, they only took a chance of hitting somebody. Anyway, there was nobody never hurt on me in that house from the time we occupied it. There was nobody else ever hurt, no.
What about hand bombs? Had they come in?
No.
Janitin bombs or anything?
No, we didn't make any. We didn't bother.
Did the Germans use any?
No, they didn't throw any either. I don't think they had any. They were too much trouble, you know, these homemade bombs.
Had they started to make them, though, then? Did you know what they were by then?
Well, we knew about them, but we never tried to make them. We never bothered about them. They were no use, really. They were no use, like I say. We decided they weren't worth the trouble.
So the engineers were working underneath?
Yes, day after day.
About what time was this? What month?
Well, this would be what? January? Something like that. 15.
Right.
And February, I should think, around about then. And we're still doing the four in and four out, really, you know. Anyway, wait a minute now, we had we got word one day, we must retire into our front line. Suddenly, you know, we got the word suddenly. retire. And we thought so because the engineers had been carting gun cotton down below. We knew what was going to happen. Anyway, we cleared out and got in our front line. And then the order came, everybody keep well under cover. You know. And then, woo, the barricade went up. And the end of the house, you know, part of the end house where Jerry was. It went up in a blue flame. Well, there were chaps actually hurt in our front line with pieces of stuff coming down and hitting them, you know. And as soon as it was exploded and settled, right, back in the houses now. We had to go back in then and man the end house, man the backyard wall, you know.
Had it caused any damage, the mine?
Oh, yes. It had partly blown this house down. The barricade had gone right enough. Oh, it had blown that up in the air. There's no barricade.
Any damage to the British houses, though? Were they close enough to get damaged?
No, they didn't get damaged. Our house was still the same. We ran in the backyard and we stood on anything we could stand on, looking over the wall because it was rather battered, his house, Jerry's house. But, you know, when we looked over the wall, there was me and my squad, three or four of them, and my officer. And when we looked over the wall, there was a German on like an outhouse, you know, belonging to the house. He was on top of the roof, laid there, wounded. You know, he'd been blown there. And up come another German, a scam, and he was only from here to that desk office, with five or six rifles. And he walked up, as calm as anything, with a ladder, put it again the thing, walked up it, got him on his shoulder, and carried him away. And none of us fired a shot. The officer said, don't fire, boys. He said, he deserves a medal, that. And so we didn't fire, we watched him walk away with this wounded fellow. That's true. We never fired a shot at him, and we could have all put bullets wherever we wanted in him, you know. We could have killed him stone dead in no time. And the officer said, don't fire, boys, don't fire. He's a good lad, that, you know. He deserves a medal, because he knew we were there, you know.
Did you agree with...
He could see us quite well with our rifles.
Did you agree with your officer?
Yes, we all agreed with him, yes, I did. We all agreed, because not just killing him didn't make any difference, really, you know. Anyway, things went a bit quiet after that, because I fancy they don't shell us. It's too near their own lines, you see, so they don't use the big guns. And anyway, soon after that, we got relieved.
Did they try and attack at night at all, or raid, or...?
No, they never made another attack onto us. No. They never attacked us, you know, because I don't think we'd done much harm to them. The only thing, difference was, when we retired into the front line for the explosion, we had to fire rapid towards Jerry's trenches for 5 minutes, so many rounds, you know. Fired rapid, fire! And we fired them rapid. That was so Jerry would bring more men up to the barricade to defend it, and more would get blown up. You see, that was the idea. Anyway, we did. We fired rapid, and then up it went. I don't know whether it killed, you know, any extra or not. Then we went back into the house, and that's what happened with that German and that outhouse. And after that, things were quiet, and we got relieved. But we'd been out there then some time, you know, 2 or 3 months we'd been on that game then. You know, must have been February, January, February. We went right out and camped close by Almond Hill.
Before you'd gone, I believe you mentioned that the Germans withdrew and then eventually withdrew around that area and shelled the British cottages with, you know, with the artillery. Did that happen before you pulled back to Armentières or after?
Before, I think. No. I don't remember him shelling us. It must have been after.
Was it while you were in them?
No, it must have been after.
Right, okay, well, that will
anyway.
We'll move on. You were in, you were camping.
We didn't have no big stuff to put up with. And we retired for a rest, I think, you know, and it was for a rest. Like I say, we'd been doing this. Yes, well, we retired. We were under the canvas, just outside Armentières. And we carried on there with gymnastics and marching and cleaning, especially cleaning up as if it was civilian, you know, as if it was in civilian life. Cleaning everything and getting spotless.
Was everything inspected?
Oh, yes. They kept coming round and they look at you on parade, and your rifle was perfect, oiled, cleaned.
Did you think this was a return to spit and polish, or was it...
It was a bit return that to that, really. It was spit and polish to us, you know, because we hadn't been doing anything like that for some time.
Did you mind at all?
No, it weren't bad, because we all thought about the night out coming. You see, we didn't mind the days.
Well, tell me about the night out. You went into Armentières, I presume?
Yes, we all went. I think the whole battalion went out at night, everyone as could. And we were stuffing the estaminets, you see. We were filling them up.
What kind of town was Armentières?
Oh, like a busy little village, you can say, you know, with a few streets. Not a great big place, city or anything like that.
It was still fully occupied by civilians.
Oh, yes. Like I say, the bombers came over now and again in the daytime. You could hardly see them coming over that high, and they'd let fly with a bomb or two, you know.
Did they cause much effect?
No, hardly any. And nobody took no notice. I think he gave over coming at finish. Anyway, we got into the estaminets and we were drinking vin blanc, of course. And the place was full. This estaminet I was in this particular night, it was absolutely crowded. And there was five women in there, and it was 5 francs a time if you went with them. You know, up the stairs and in the bedrooms. And fellas were going in and coming out, going in and coming out, you know, the bedrooms with the girls. And one night, the padre walked in the estaminet. On the stairs leading up to the bedrooms was full. A man on every step, waiting his turn to go in with a woman, you know. Of course, he came in, and we were sat over there, me and Tom and a couple more, at a little table. And, well, you can imagine how he dressed us down. Have none of you any mothers? Have none of you any sisters? You know, and all that sort of thing. Anyway, after dressing them down like that, he said, I shall report this to the colonel. Of course, he had the sergeant of police with him, you know, walking with him. He says, I shall report this to the colonel when I get back to camp. And he did do. So the colonel decided that he'd let us out, half of them out at once. For 2 hours, you know, so forth like that. It reduced our time. Anyway, we weren't there too long before we moved.
When this estaminet, was it, you mentioned earlier there was a lot more drinking went on in Armentières. Did
Oh, everybody was, every soldier was shopping away in there, boozing away in there. Oh, yes.
Did you join in that?
Oh, I was having my vin blanc, like all the remainder, you know.
But you wouldn't say you got drunk?
No, no. No, I never got drunk at the North, although, bear in mind, I have been drunk on champagne, don't worry. Later on, tell you about that. But,
what did you think about the women and the prostitutes? Were you tempted?
Oh, so common. Oh, no, no, I didn't fancy them at all. I said to Tom, Tom said, are you going up there? I said, no, no, not with them things. Because there were, you know, all sorts of ages, the women. And these fellows would probably tell you what it was like going in, you know. She's there, and the first thing she does is grab your 5-franc note. That's the first thing she does. Put it there, you know. And then she unfastens your flies and has a feel and squeezes it. See if there's anything wrong with it. And then she just throws this cloak off and she's on the bed. You know, like this. Ready for you. That's what happens. And then when you've finished, she has a kettle boiling there with some herbs in. She'll just give you a bit of a swill with it. You know, safety's sake, that for disease, you know. But, no, I didn't go over there, not with that lot, no.
Did most of the troops indulge or not? Or?
Oh, I should think so. Because I tell you, the stairs were lined with them. One on every stair. Where did you, as soon as there was an old man upstairs, sort of bossing the place, you know, an old man, an old French man. And he was shoving the fellas away that had been in and grabbing the next, come on. You know, wherever the place was empty, you know. Oh, yes. Anyway, that was how it was, the minister.
Were there any cases of VD after this sort of thing?
Well, not that I know of, no. I don't remember any cases of VD. No, I don't remember any. Mind you, a fellow might have gone sick and kept in the hospital. It might have been VD for all I know, you know what I mean. He never come back, he'd gone to hospital. And of course, I don't see what was wrong with him.
With the
but
drink-
anyway,
with the drinking.
There was never nobody treating themselves for VD, none of the soldiers, no.
With the drinking, did people have problems getting up for morning parade and things like that?
No, no, there really wasn't. I don't think any of them got really drunk, you know, there. You couldn't make them drunk with the stuff we were getting vin blanc. Because most of them, I think they only drunk it because it was in there having a drink, you know. I don't think they cared for it. It's not extra nice to drink vin blanc, you know, white wine, as they sold it in the pub.
There
was vin rouge and vin blanc. But everybody went for vin blanc because vin rouge, the French soldiers had that in the water bottles, you know.
Were there any other recreations available in Armentières?
No, no. No, we weren't there. I don't think there was anything above a fortnight at the most. We weren't there above a fortnight before we moved on again.
Didn't you have a bath while you were at Armentières?
I'm just wondering whether it was at Armentières we had one. I think it was. Only I'm mistaken whether it was just then or not, or later on, you know, in the war. But anyhow, the platoon commander falling to his platoon, you know, matter of about 30 men are close on a platoon. Fall in for baths. Bring your towels. We fell in and we marched off down the country lanes. We came to an old wine place. It looked like a brewery, and it was really for brewing wine. And we marched in the yard, you know. "Now strip off," he says, "and put your clothes right down where you stand. Put them all together." So we did. We stripped off and we put them all together. And, right, come on. We went inside the building then. And there were two big vats. Oh, you know, two big round vats. About that depth they are.
About a yard deep.
Yes, about a yard deep. And get in there. They threw some blue mottled soap at us. And there we were in that tub.
Was it hot or cold?
Oh, it was hot enough, you know. Oh, it was hot. And just nice to get in, you know. But you can imagine, 15 or 16 in one tub. We couldn't move round, you know. We had to wash each other's backs and all that sort of game. You couldn't get down to do your legs or your feet. You couldn't bend down the Dominion tub. Anyhow, you'd only to get out of there when the officer said, "Get out." Not before, you know. No, you didn't get out until he said you could come out. So you're a proper soaking. And we dashed out then when the officer said, and we run back to our clothes. And they were where they'd been before, but they were all steaming hot, you know. When we put them on, we looked like old tramps. Everything that was creased as could be, coats and pants, as creased as possibly could be, as if they'd been iron creased, you know what I mean. But they all looked like old tramps coming in. They'd been in a fumigator. They had them in the fumigator while we were in the baths, killing all these lice, you know. And they did do, really, like, because she was free for a day or two. But as soon as you got them on, and when your body got them warm again, they come alive, you know. Oh, yes. They were there.